Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and welcome to Boggy Talk. I'm not going to host, so Justin, you take over. I'm in Kelly's chair, so I figured I'd say that.
I will give you a 6 out of 10
thanks,
on that. Good job.
Thanks.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. We are here live in the studio, but Kelly's gone today.
Yeah,
I mean, she's
yeah.
actually at work today, but we have some guests here with us on Boggy Talk today.
Some very special guests.
Some VIPs. We have Lisa Corley, who is a church member and currently is serving as the lead of our the chairperson of our stewardship
stewardship
and Steve Renna, who's our executive pastor of administration and assimilation here
and whatever else ask him
and, yeah, yeah. keeper yes he well anyway I won't I'm gonna stay on target.
On what?
Like Target.
Oh, Target. Okay.
Like Kelly would. She'd be like,
okay.
All right, guys. So, we are dropping this episode the week before this coming Sunday. We are voting as a church on our 2026 budget. And you guys just put that together yesterday. So,
right.
Just kidding. That's been a long process of, you know, a lot of different people being involved. We're going to talk about the process. We're going to talk about the leadership involved in that and really some highlights from the budget. This is for church members who may not have had the opportunity to go to some of the Q&As to hear a little bit more and some perspective on things. So let's do this. Let's dive right in. Steve, explain our budgeting process.
All right. Well, yeah, that short process. We just put it together yesterday. So, our budget process, honestly, it starts 5 to 6 months out. So the first thing that we're really trying to answer as we get together with stewardship team, we start talking budget, is how's the Lord blessing us? Like, we celebrate that, and we go, how do we believe the Lord is going to bless us in the next year? Because ultimately, He brings the resources, and to be good stewards of those resources, we want to develop a ministry plan that uses those resources to honor and glorify Him and help make disciples. I mean, that's our mission. So the first thing that we do is we start looking every month at information, right? We look each month and we say, how many donors do we have? How many people do we have that are actually giving and tithing? We wish that was 100% of everybody who sits in the seat.
So does the Lord.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. does the Lord. Unfortunately, it's not. So we look at the number of people who are giving, and from that number, I can essentially tell the team, here's what the average annual gift is. How many people have started giving, so new givers? How many people have stopped? How many people have increased? How many people have decreased? How many people have stayed the same? We start looking at the trends. So is the per-person giving trending up from year to year, or is it trending down? Is the number of donors trending up or trending down? And so from that information, then I use a 3-year weighted average. So we're looking at the previous year. We're giving it more weight to that as the 2 years prior to that. And essentially that gives us a projection of – it's a picture of how the Lord's been blessing us and what the projection looks like for the next year. I do 2 different versions of that. One includes the current year. So in this case, we're looking to 2026. One version includes 2025. Now, we're not all the way through 2025. So I may have 6 or 7 months of hard data and information, but I also know what percentage of budget we receive. We've received each month over the past, I look back 15, 20 years, and I can tell you what the percentage is. So I can project pretty well what the end of the year in 2025 is going to look like. And so between those 2 projections, one that includes 2025 and one that doesn't, those 3-year averages, it gives us a high and low. And it says these are kind of the guardrails, because this is the way the Lord's been blessing us and the way the trend is going. And so that kind of sets the top number. Then we also look at what was the total giving last year, and as a sanity check, does this look right? And so the answer is, in this case, in 2026, what we're looking at, just over 11% increase. We gave more than that. Mm-hmm. In the previous year, and we will this year as well. So we know that we're being somewhat fiscally conservative, but also there's a measure of faith in it, because we're projecting forward. So that's how we come up with a big picture number. And then the next piece is that we want to make sure that the congregation is involved in this, that there's transparency, that there's accountability. The process is our pastoral staff, our budget area managers, our lay people are working together. And Lisa will talk more about that piece of it. But the first piece in the process that we communicate to the congregation is that we want to hear from you. Like, we want to know, especially for new people. Mm-hmm. They come in, you mm-hmm. know, it's like something we've stepped over 7,000 times that we don't see anymore. A new person comes in and says, here's something I think we should be doing from a ministry perspective that would be impactful. We want to hear that. So we have a budget input meeting that allows the congregation, regardless of where you're serving, to come and say, hey, here's a ministry idea. Mm-hmm. It's early enough in the process so that we have the opportunity to make sure we can fund that. We don't promise we're going to fund it because we mm-hmm. get some crazy ideas sometimes. But we do promise that we will consider
what are some of those crazy ideas?
Seriously.
That's yeah, of the 100 people that give you input, how many of those do you actually do? I'm just kidding. It's not
many who give input, but I will say this, that, I mean, we have an additional van because we had somebody complain.
They complained. It was a legitimate, I know who it is.
Legitimate,
she complained. Legitimate concern.
It was, yes. It was legitimate
concern. In fact, safety concern.
2 years in a row, she came in and gave good ideas.
What did she describe the van as? Are you allowed to say that?
I cannot say that. We would have to bleep that out. I will refrain from that. But it was a very descriptive statement of the van. So, you know, we were able
and
to.
Accurate. Descriptive and accurate. Right.
So we were able to fund that because of that suggestion. We were able to fund some other things for student ministry based on those suggestions.
The pregnancy center funding, that came mm-hmm. The partnership we have with the Fort Walton Beach.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and these are often things that our budgetary managers may not think of.
Yeah.
So if you have ideas, you've missed your opportunity.
This year.
But next year.
Not too early in the process.
Right. Highly encourage you. We want to hear from you. So that's mm-hmm. the first piece. And then later in the process, as we put the budget out, we have three different Q&A sessions to make sure people can ask questions. We want you to ask questions so that you understand what you're voting on. But before we get to the budget package that we put out, it's more than just putting numbers. Like, this is not just about the budget. This is about ministry. Every dollar represents ministry. So before we start putting dollars and cents to anything, it starts with, what is your ministry plan? Mm-hmm. We don't look at the previous year and say, well, you got X amount of dollars last year. We're going to give you that plus 3%. Now figure out what your ministry plan is. Money should not be driving how you design your ministry mm-hmm. plan. The goal of making disciples and teaching people about Jesus and growing right. in relationship, that should drive mm-hmm. our budget. Mm-hmm. So we start out and we say, make your ministry plan as if money is no object. And if they're doing it right, they should come up with a ministry plan that is bigger than what we can afford. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's the case, but I'll talk about a blessing there in a minute. So what happens is we start with the ministry plans, and then we do zero-based budgeting, which means you put together your ministry plan, and then you start to put dollars and cents mm-hmm. to that ministry plan. Once all of those things get submitted, they go through a few reviews. The mm-hmm. first review is that we look at that, the executive staff, so that's James and Justin and I, look at all of the submissions solely from a ministry focus mm-hmm. Lens.
And it's really fun because we set it up like American Idol. And we make all of the, or The Apprentice, you know, and we make all of the people.
Give a pitch.
Is this still a show, The Apprentice?
I think since Trump became president.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's got other things right. going on. Okay.
Fired. You're fired. Yeah, so we review it, and we're basically asking the question, like, does this align with our mission and our vision? And if it doesn't, it shouldn't be in there.
Yeah.
Is this focused enough? Are we spread too thin in the things that we're proposing? And so we evaluate it from that standpoint, and then we'll come back and make suggestions of changes. Mm-hmm. Then there's a second review that takes place. Really, there's three reviews in the total process. The second review is a calendar review. So everybody who puts together a ministry plan, like, oh, man, I'm going to do 17,000 things this year. Oh, that's great. But once you put every single ministry yep. that's submitting and we put it on a board, on a calendar, we go, look, the number one resource mm-hmm. at any organization, and especially the church, is not the dollars we have. It's the people. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at the calendar, we go, okay, there's too many things on this calendar. We're going to burn our people out. We've got to make some adjustments. Mm-hmm. So we might do some cuts in the calendar review. And then the final review of those submissions is the stewardship team is looking at the basis of estimate. Like, did you do the work? Did you say, I need $10,000 for whatever just because I want it?
Sorry about that, Lisa.
Right, yeah. Right. Or did you say, I need $10,000.
Lead
right.
pastor.
Right.
Said so.
Right.
The Lord told me.
Right.
Just kidding. I would never do that.
Or maybe
there's a lot of places.
Yeah. But it may be a church plant that we're involved in, and you've gone, it's going to cost $5,000 just to fix some things we got to fix at this church plant is going to cost another $5,000 to fund whatever it is. You're putting actual dollars and cents to it. Mm-hmm. We're verifying that so that we know we're being good stewards. And then once that financial review is put together, we're rolling it all up into a big number, and we make sure that it fits in that top end number. And then also when we do the roll up, we're also adding in the 8% to the cooperative program, the 0.5% to the associational missions, and the 1.5% to church planting and revitalization. And then we're also looking at our emergency reserve and a few other things that insurance things that impact that. And as long as it fits within that top end range, we know we can fund it. Now, if it doesn't, and there's larger asks, things are prioritized, and we'll take those things out. But to just celebrate the Lord in this, over the last few years, we have had things that we could not fund in budget, but because of the generosity of our people, we've had overage dollars that we were able to fund at 100% all of the things that we had hoped to do from a ministry perspective. So God has been tremendously blessing us in that.
There is definitely faith involved, and there's planning. And planning, sometimes people are like, you should just plan it all, forget faith. Or people are just, a lot of times in churches specifically in budgeting, it's just have faith and forget the plans. Mm-hmm.
Faith doesn't pay the electricity.
Yeah, that's right. And so there is faith in the planning. And there's planning in the faith, too. Yeah. So, Lisa, in your role leading this, first of all, is John jealous that you're on Boggy Talk before him? Because John listens very faithfully to Boggy Talk. Is he a little jealous that you're here and first?
We did not talk about
that. Okay.
So he does love Boggy Talk.
He is tell him when guy. We talk about the nuclear fission between plants and this photosynthesis and all that, we'll have him on Boggy Talk, okay?
Okay.
So, you have
I forget what I used to say at a PhD.
Hydroponics.
Hydroponics.
Because I said that, he was like, actually, that's not,
it's not
like
it. It's
thing.
Not it.
So you have served in this church and still serve in this church in a number of capacities. And one of those ways right now, you stepped onto the stewardship team, and then now you are leading the stewardship team, and you have
Sucker.
Been a...
that's
right. I mean, I would say you've been a gift to the church body
for sure.
And the staff team and to Steve. And Steve is incredibly detailed. You might be the person that I've met who might be more detailed than him, which I think is...
No, I just have to go after Steve's details. He's already got everything covered. It's very simple.
Yeah, you guys are amazing. I mean, because, that's a gift for both of you to the church body. So why don't you tell us, really, from the lay leadership...
This is my level of detail.
From the lay leadership perspective, what is the lay leadership involvement in all this process?
Well, it starts by, like you said, all the congregational meetings, the stewardship team, and it's a team. I don't want to forget to mention the other people on the team. We have Aaron Shore and Donald Cornegie, Teresa Baker, and Scott Haugen. Mm-hmm. So we really have an excellent team this year, very involved, concerned, want to understand the process, want to just serve the Lord in this way. But
do they listen to Boggy Talk?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I
two of them
I haven't
do,
asked.
I, know
that. Yeah. I mean, okay. I
not
listen.
Is that a prerequisite for serving on stewardship?
Maybe, yeah, no.
Okay. All right.
We're happy to find people that God has gifted with.
We'll take that.
And don't mind looking at formulas and details. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how it's we're one body,
right.
different parts,
right.
and not everybody wants to serve mm-hmm. on stewardship. But
yeah.
Amen to that.
What
yeah,
it is, it's a, there's a lot of unique, you want people who are detailed and administrative, but also, and you know, process oriented, but who also are generous and who have
yeah.
that, who
yeah.
have
yeah.
a heart to see the ministry, who aren't just about the numbers, but they yeah. who really get the fact that the numbers represent lives that are changed
yeah.
for eternity.
Yeah, I was going to yeah. say, we've talked a lot about numbers, but the point of what we're doing is making sure, you know, I always say when we look at someone's budget, I want to make sure you it's right,
mm-hmm.
not because I want to go, you added these numbers wrong.
But that's fun.
But
this is true.
Speak for yourself.
You guys.
Or you spelled this wrong. Whatever,
yeah.
you know. But
don't speak for yourself.
But we want to make sure you have the money there
right.
to do what you
yeah.
your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And we
mm-hmm.
want to make sure also you didn't pad it and you have way more money than you need
mm-hmm.
because then you're keeping some other ministry
right.
in the church from
mm-hmm.
happening.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's why the detail's there.
Yeah.
We mm-hmm. want to make sure, mm-hmm. and sometimes it looks like, that's not important, but it's a way
mm-hmm.
to make sure
right.
we're able to fund and
yeah.
and do the things we do. And you ask, which we've gotten off topic, was how the stewardship team was involved. And like you said, we meet when we have the congregational meetings. We are there. We also – Steve is the
pastoral
brain.
Liaison
yes.
to the team.
Well, I was going to say the brain
oh,
behind
okay.
all the formulas. But we do look at them as a team,
mm-hmm.
and and we decide and vote as a team what in that spread he's talking about, where we feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We pray about it. I think we've kind of leaned talking on the number side, but there is prayer involved.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see where God is leading us. We want to we acknowledge how much he has blessed us in this
yeah.
category
mm-hmm.
in the past few years and how he's just continuing to bless us. But because he is blessing, we have even more responsibility
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
use
yes.
it wisely
yeah, for sure.
because there are churches out there that are wondering where, you know, we have some air conditioner issues, and
what?
Steve
yes.
will say, it's probably going to cost this much. And we'll go, Steve, God's already provided.
Right.
We have the funds there for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we realize there are other churches that don't
right.
don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to be good stewards of what we have so we can help
mm-hmm.
others. You know, we
mm-hmm.
one of our things is to grow the kingdom, not
mm.
to just grow our church.
Mm,
and
right.
and again, I'm off topic. Sorry.
No, that's great.
You're all on.
Related.
You might be
it
off
really
topic,
is.
But on point.
It is, yeah, it is all related.
So,
yeah.
So we vote to see what percent increase will be for the next year as a team. And then after all the ministry plans are done and all the numbers are put to it, we go through
mm-hmm.
every word, number, letter
yeah.
of the budget and see if it makes sense.
Right.
Because and I have to say, our staff works very hard on preparing those, and basis of estimate is not the vocabulary of every
right.
person. God gives us different gifts. So our job is to look at that and make sure that 1 + 1 = 2 and
yeah.
that it all makes sense. And that so sometimes we find things that somebody's accidentally just added numbers wrong. It could be thousands of dollars. And
mm-hmm.
we want to just make sure,
yeah.
again, our heart is to
mm-hmm.
make sure there's money there
mm.
to perform the ministry.
Yeah, that's good.
And then we bring it to
mm-hmm.
a vote.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll just say, you know, I'm not regularly in stewardship meetings. Praise the Lord, and thank you, Steve. But I occasionally am, typically to talk about more big picture things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of questions when we're talking about missions things, like supporting church plants. We've supported church plants and replants in the six-figure number. There is always such a, and we've just been blessed by this the whole time I feel like I've been here. of whoever serving that role. There's just such a heart to say, how can we be faithful to the call of God on our life, not just about the numbers? And I think, you know, at Town Hall, I do think the stewardship chairs always are trying to make that a point. But no matter what, you're going through a budget. So people are going to feel sometimes, especially the feely types, are going to feel like, this is so numbers focused. And it's not. It is not. There is a lot of prayer and a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. And the tone is, how can we be God's church? How can we be faithful? And how can we help other churches and give more to missions? And so, you know, again, you'll do a good job of trying to convey that, but just because you're going through a budget sheet at the meeting this Sunday, there will be some who feel like, well, that is not the heart of many people in this church.
The conversations don't start with the dollars.
Yeah, they don't.
With the people and the ministries and the desire and the mission, really.
Yeah.
That's where it begins.
Yeah.
So, well, so we've explained the process. Now, go ahead.
Sorry, I will say what you didn't mention is you guys also meet throughout the year to review how we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
I was focusing on this budget, but we meet monthly to look at that month's budget, look at the accounts, and make sure we're analyzing every month.
Yeah, that's good. So as we talked about the process, now what are some of the key takeaways and highlights from this year's proposed budget? And this is for everybody.
You first?
Well, yeah, why don't you start? Yeah,
okay. Ladies
as
first.
You have overseen the process. Yeah.
Okay, I probably have two. One, we've started a new category in our budget. We have a new area, Connections and Hospitality, with Kelly Brown. So even though she's not here,
she's not hosting
today, but that is looks new, but it's not new. It's just areas from lots of other budgets that have been pulled out and put under her purview.
Yeah.
And I think that's been a good change. Mm-hmm. And that's one change for this year.
Sure.
What Lisa's saying is Kelly is much better at managing a lot of that than we are. Any of us are.
Well, I mean, it's reflective of our growth as a church. And we need to have more direct involvement in that rather than it being from multiple people speaking into these things. Just to have someone who's owning it, who has a vision for it, and running with it. Yeah, absolutely.
And who's better at it than us.
Nobody said that.
Hey,
nobody
it's true.
Said
didn't
that.
Didn't have
true.
To.
We said it.
We said it. Yeah, yeah.
Steve said it. No. The other thing is just when you look at the numbers on what we're giving to missions.
Yeah,
our planning for missions and our planning ahead for our new build for our capital campaign and all those things. Our budget, and this is part of it, thanks to Steve, is we plan ahead.
Lisa and I have been here long enough to remember times when we had an air conditioning go down and we went, the money's not there to pay for this air conditioning unit. So we would have to basically go to ministry areas and say, you've got to cut your spending so that we can replace this air conditioning unit.
Wow.
And it wasn't – it really was –
and a lot of churches are there.
But ultimately, it was not an issue of the church not having the resources year over year to put us in a good position for that. It was that we just weren't planning. We were not planning long term. And when it comes to facilities, yes, we have to put large amounts of money – into a savings plan for facilities, and you see that on a budget. And nobody likes that because
it's not quite the exciting thing.
But ultimately, if you don't do it, you are going to end up stealing from ministry. Ministry focus is in the long term, because if we don't have air conditioning, you know, I'd love to believe that everybody will show up just like they do.
But we're also realists. We have
faith. But we're realists, you know, there is an expectation of that. So that planning, that long-term planning, really, it matters to keep us on track. And the example now, we've had a terrible year from an HVAC perspective, but you're right. We have the funds because we've been very diligent in our planning for now at least 10 years, 15 years, almost 15 years now to get us in a better place.
And I think it's worth mentioning. I mean, and I'm the one who's like, hey, that we're trying to get to 50-50, and that doesn't count, you know, as ministry. But the building is ministry. And I think when someone's like, well, we spend this amount of money on our, you know, utilities, and we spend this amount of money on you know, whatever insurance, but there's kids in Africa without food. Well, first of all, we're doing both, you know, and you're really discounting what happens on this campus and how that propels people to do something about all of that. And it's just a part of it. It really is a part of it. And I would say to that person, like, if you're coming here and you're benefiting from it, but then don't want to give to that, like, that's kind of a character issue that maybe we should set up a time to talk about. My highlight in that, though, is we crossed 300,000 in cooperative program giving. That's a significant milestone in a church that's been given to the cooperative program since it started in the 40s.
Exactly.
1940s. We're almost to the 40s of 2000. I should clarify now. I know.
Wow, that's a reality check.
So for 80 years, I think cooperative program started in 1945 for 80 years, and we just crossed $300,000. So that's significant.
Yeah, it is.
So, it is.
Yeah, I would say, too, this is from the ministry perspective, really to piggyback off of what you just said. You know, you guys have worked such a great plan in making sure that we have appropriate funds saved for not just that, not just air conditioning, but for things we weren't thinking about or equipment that we know we're going to have to replace. There's escrow for that so that we are able to do the ministry. Well, God is doing the ministry through this church because of that planning.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, just I see that more and more every year, the deeper I get into things, you know, I'm like, this is so thank you guys so much. I think that is probably underappreciated in our budgeting process and just as a church as a whole. Because I know that I'm usually the guy who's like, let's tell the fun stories about all the
things. When I glaze over at Steve's Excel spreadsheets, know that that is a glaze of appreciation.
and trust in the process. Too,
when I'm falling asleep as you show me the third level.
Doesn't always feel that way.
But it really is such a – I mean, I think we're all probably – even though I'm appreciating it now, there's still ways that I don't fully comprehend how what God is doing is the result of, I mean, his work through the planning.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for that 100%. And then I think going on top of the cooperative program, and we are giving more is budgeted for missions and community outreach than ever before. So praise God for that. A lot of things that we've had funded in missions and community outreach over the past few years has been funded from overage that is now in our budget that we're saying we're counting these as must pays, you know, like we are wanting to do these things and we're planning to do them.
Yeah.
And we're still seeing above and beyond. And so that's incredibly, that's thrilling. We think about the church plants, additional church plants we're able to support, the ways we're able to go deeper in our global partnerships, the ways we're able to go deeper in our local partnerships and ministries we're supporting.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And
they're feeding starving Wyatt and Ross children too. You know, so they are taking care of the staff.
And taking care of the staff in the midst of all that. Yes,
yeah.
I mean, and we have a large staff.
I mean,
there's 22 people on staff, and so there's the budget is providing for that.
Yes.
And anything about all the ministries as well too. John leads our ESL ministry, and that has continued to grow, and so we're able to make sure they have the resources that they need. We have Serve Day, but then you talk about kids ministries. Growing student ministry, growing.
Yeah, I mean, exponential.
We have more people involved in discipleship. We have more people on campus for worship services. Being in a position where we can do a concurrent service, not because we're trying to be awesome, but because we're out of space and we don't want to turn people away.
I know.
What else do we do?
Why
are you guys doing concurrent services? Listen, we're not looking for more work. It doesn't make us feel any better as leaders to be like, yeah, we've got. I'm like, it's just we don't want to turn people away.
I know.
And we are in some limitations facility-wise, and we just want people to have access to Jesus and the church and solid biblical teaching and biblical community. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to say, sorry, we're out of space.
And
so
I think it's worth mentioning, I mean, there is a huge amount that is budgeted for, you kind of alluded to it, but to savings for the future. Maybe just hit on that real quick.
Yeah.
One of you.
From last year, from this year to next year's budget, it's an increase of about $90,000 that we're putting towards debt service. So when we start planning
We have no debt.
We have no debt.
Yeah.
In fact, what we did when we paid off our debt, we had that full debt service already in budget. We chose to keep that in budget to start building a pot towards really the next phase if the Lord continues to bless us. And because we did that, one, that was a big piece of how we were able to pay that and overage how we were to pay for the office building mm-hmm. with cash and not take out any loan. That's also a big part of the reason why we had $1.1 million that the church voted on to move ahead with parking because of those funds that we continued to keep in budget to start building towards those things. And as we look forward and we're planning forward, if the Lord blesses us with the resources that we are praying for in the capital campaign, that's a 3-year campaign, and then it would be a 2-year construction project. So by the time we get 5 years from now, Lord willing, we need to have the full amount of debt service built into our budget to pay for the loan that we would need to complete that construction project. So each year between now and when we complete that building, we'll incrementally step up the debt service so that it's there.
Yeah.
And that's really on top of the capital campaign. So it's a great blessing to have that in there. It'll help us offset some inflation costs as we work towards that next build, and every dollar we put in there will also potentially bring the amount of money we have to take out in a loan down. So it's good planning.
Yeah, that's good. So so when we think about the futures, we're talking about the next phase of facility needs here. Let's talk about some of the challenges we may face. And so what you guys perceive as some of those financial challenges that may be for our church or any church that we may be facing?
You want me to run off my whole list?
Wait, you have a enumerated list? I'm shocked.
No, I mean, some of them we've already mentioned. I mean, yeah. James mentioned insurance. Insurance has been huge increases, mm-hmm. and I mean every type of insurance. Our property insurance, liability insurance, our health insurance costs, all of those things continue to creep up at huge rates that are hard. When we look at you mentioned the personnel budget. So when we look at the personnel budget, we spend a tremendous amount of time. For me personally, I want to be able to sleep at night. So when I'm thinking about people's pay, I make sure I do the work to know that we are paying people fairly, but not just paying them fairly, but that people are planning for their retirement. And so it's one of the things in the budget that we start to creep up retirement that helps people plan for the future. But as we look at all those things and we're looking at health insurance and how we can make sure that people are covered, all those things cost a lot of money. And we're always balancing that against, well, the people who are starving under bridges in India, right? We've got to take care of our staff as well. And so the leaders can lead well and can pour into the congregation and not wonder how they're going to survive today and survive in retirement. All of those things are part of it. So insurance is a huge piece. The capital campaign is huge. I mean, ultimately, we have a goal of trying to raise about $8 million. That's
a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's a huge goal. And honestly, that's not just giving above your tithe. That is sacrificial giving. Mm-hmm. For us to make it, it's sacrificial giving. So the goal is really we want to see the Lord move in that because, again, it's not about building facilities. It is about investing in the people the Lord continues to bring our way. And as our town grows— that should certainly be part of the outreach into this community. So that's a big challenge is the capital campaign, the debt service that we talked about building for that, and making sure that we can work towards that goal. Because as we build our base here, it means we have more resources to mm-hmm. fund missions mm-hmm. and church plants and revitalization. Mm-hmm. So we don't want one to cannibalize the other, right? We want to do both in a healthy manner. And the same thing when we talk about personnel. Like our church, as a percentage of budget, our personnel budget for 2026 is just over 43%. The average church is 52%. Mm-hmm. So we intentionally try and run a lean staff, but take care of that staff to the mm-hmm. best of our ability. Mm-hmm. And we continue to evaluate as we grow. what do we need from a staff perspective? Those things, and we're going to have to add some staff, especially if we grow facilities, just to maintain and take care of that. But all of those things are challenges financially because we don't want that to negatively impact how much money we're giving to the cooperative program and how many people we're supporting in church plants and revitalization. So it's this constant balance between growing our church, local church here in Niceville, but making sure we don't do this at the expense of the mission of reaching people outside the walls of the church.
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, just from a pastoral perspective, I know they shared this, like the greatest challenge I think we face and the one I'm just most burdened for is, you know, Steve has shared with me numbers, like obviously I say this from a position of our church is currently $600,000 ahead of budget. So we are not like in need of somebody's money to make sure I make my paycheck, you know, so I'm not, there's no, none of that. But yet the number, like as we've grown from just under 500, you know, people eight years ago to 1,300 people, the percentage of people that are giving what would even resemble a tithe has significantly gone down. So that means on a Sunday morning, there are a lot of people that are not trusting the Lord financially. And again, we're fine. God takes care of his church. But I just feel burdened for them, like you know, yeah, you could think about what could we do with that. But that's really, again, we're in such a great position. It's really even hard to think about. I mean, I'm sure Steve has ideas, but it's really not, I don't even think like that. But I'm just like, and then life keeps getting more expensive. So like the excuses, you know, for not trusting the Lord in that area continue to mount. And then I would say, and we hit on this last week, like I think most people in our church are well above, or at least in this community, are well above the middle. You know, and again, not super wealthy. I'm not saying that we I don't, but most of them are just comfortable, and yet they're still not trusting the Lord. And so that's just a challenge. And I mean, I'm probably most of Boggy Talk listeners are faithful. But I just hope the Lord would continue to help people see how they can be a part of what he's doing.
I mean, I think there's things outside of our control. Like we don't know a government shutdown and how we don't know. There's a lot of things. We aren't in control of the economy. We think those are unique challenges and they're probably not going away. But what can we control? And that is our obedience. You know, and I think that's for all of us. It's like we all have to be obedient. And, you know, and that can be a challenge as a whole. And so we, as a church, we want God to bless what we're doing, but we want to first submit it to him. But if we want to God to bless what we're doing, we want to do what he says to do, right? Before we move on to a game that James has planned.
Oh, let's do it.
any closing thoughts? All right, let's play.
Well, I was going to say the level of detail you guys have started to provide, like the third level detail in 2 years has been significant because I think a lot of the reason we have less questions is I think that
The details available.
Yeah, the detail is there. And then we mentioned last week, you know, if you want any information beyond what's represented, you can reach out to the office, you know, like personnel information, those kind of things. Steve would be happy to sit down with you and go over those things. Some of the things we don't print or publish out of respect for the number of people involved in all those things, even missionary support. Like if you want to know more details about them, you can ask those questions.
Yes, as a church member.
Absolutely, yeah, as a church member, yeah. So not random person on the internet. So, all right, so we're going to play The Price is Right to see if you guys really know your money stuff, you know, and whether or not we should replace you all or something.
Goodness.
I'm just kidding. Please don't let us replace you. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, these are from Walmart's website, okay? I'm going to ask you, and we're just going to go whoever's the closest.
My wife does the shopping.
Without going over, okay?
Okay.
And so,
and Steve's going to go on everyone because Jordan tells him things are way more expensive.
Yeah, right.
That's a great point.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Or way under because it's
so
been years.
We're gonna start with a, these are from Walmart.com, okay? A 20-ounce bottle of Dawn dish soap. I'm going to let you go first this time.
$4.96.
$6.79.
$3.49. It was $3.94.
Woo!
So Justin gets it. He went under. Okay. So you got to go first this time. Okay.
Okay.
Oreos. A pack of Oreos.
What
chocolate
size?
Sandwich cookies.
Like,
just like the standard
size?
Not the big, not the ones you buy. All
right.
Like the normal 13-ounce ish.
Okay.
Yeah.
$4.89. I don't know. $5.25.
$5.25.
I think $4.50.
$450. It was $396.
What?
You all went over.
Sale. That's on sale.
You all went over, but you were closest, so we're going to give you a point.
Okay. Way to go, Lisa.
Yeah, okay. This has come down a dozen. That can't be right. I don't trust you, ChatGPT. Yes, that can't be right.
Eggs are super expensive.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Oh, here we go. A dozen eggs. Here we go. Here it is. A dozen eggs. Walmart.com jumbo white eggs. 12 count.
I think they're around five.
Five?
I've been high, everyone. I don't know. I'll still say $5.50.
All right, last week at Aldi, they were $2.87. So at Walmart, they're a little bit more.
What?
But I'm going to say $2.87 because I'm going to come in under
it's
them.
It's $3.42.
All right. $3.42.
Okay. Yeah, since Trump's been president,
my wife
went
is
back
lying
down.
To me.
They were really expensive.
Steve is shopping the Whole Foods.
She buys those like farm fresh, cage free.
Okay, yeah. Steve, you should know this one. Okay, that's three. We're going 10. A
wait,
two
I
inch,
have no points right
two
now.
Foot, sorry, 2 foot, 4K HDMI cable.
Wait, how long?
2 foot.
Oh, 2 foot.
2 foot?
Right, no, 2 inch. 2 inch, just a little one. Sorry,
two inch.
That's an adapter.
No.
Listen, yeah. You're talking to the tech people
what is
now.
He talking about?
It's 2 foot then.
Okay, 2 foot.
This is the basic
it's be a
2 foot on
HDMI. Okay.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Go
oh,
see.
It's not much. It's $2.
$2?
$9.99.
$2 feet?
$4.99.
It was $3.84. Steve Renna.
Finally, I'm on the board.
I'm on the board.
1 pound of fresh strawberries from Walmart.com. Steve, you got to go first again.
Oh,
there's no way he knows this.
Never,
1 pound of fresh strawberries.
They've moved
strawberries
out of season
my
too.
Life.
This
literally.
Affects the price.
Yeah. Yes.
A pound.
Yeah.
Is that what like the
yeah,
normal
1 pound
size?
Fresh strawberries.
$4.89.
$2.99.
Ooh, it depends on if they're on. Okay, I'm going to say $3.29.
Yeah. $2.13.
Really?
So,
yeah. That cheap?
Walmart.com.
All right.
Man.
All right. Justin got that one, too. He's winning 3-1-1, so we only got five left. And
okay.
Justin
he
may not be the
clearly
best at managing
the
church's
shopping.
Money, but he clearly does more shopping.
Hey, hey, shots right. fired.
So, all right. Apple AirPods Pro 2.
Pro 2.
Yes. You know what
Apple
I think
AirPods
about Apple
Pro
products.
2. You got to go first.
I don't know what line that is in terms of the spectrum of Apple products. So I'm going to go
$99.99. Lisa?
I'm going to say mine are really old, so I have no clue.
$79.99.
All right. I'll just say 90 in between.
Okay, what you should have done is went
he
slightly
should have
over
said 100.
Slightly
because
over.
It's $199.
Oh,
what?
Justin
was wow.
closest
Steve
again,
would
right?
literally never
I would
buy
never
those.
Buy them.
You were the closest,
ever.
Right?
Yeah.
Man, yes.
But I thought, yeah.
$199.
I
yeah,
thought
the,
that was a lower.
The threes
those
are
the
even,
nice, yeah.
the threes are like 300.
Wild.
Yeah.
I don't buy Apple products.
Mine
okay.
are like knockoff off Amazon.
Okay. You should know this. On clearance, baby girl bodysuit 3-pack for preemies. It's not a woman. It's preemie baby girl. You know.
It's on clearance.
Wait, you go first.
3-pack.
Yeah,
on clearance.
But it's on clearance, so I'm going a 3-pack for $5.
$5
on clearance.
I'm gonna say it's seven.
$7.
$3.50.
It's $6.14.
All right.
You were the closest. No, you went over.
I went over.
You went over.
Wait,
you got that again?
Yeah.
Closest, right?
Yeah.
No, it's without
it's
going
the rule.
Over.
Oh, we only did closest
over.
When we all
when you all stunk
at
your
answer.
Okay. All right. I mean, there's no way you guys are going to catch up with
no.
Sasser Justin here. So
it is literally, Lisa has one, I have one, and Justin has five.
Yeah, he's really crushing. What about gluten-free Oreos? We already did Oreos. Oh, it's the same price. Never mind. That doesn't count.
Really?
Here we go. Here's one. I'll let you go first, Steve. A $25 Starbucks card from Walmart.
It's probably tax on it or something.
No.
$25?
You got it, Steve.
No,
yes.
At Sam's, it would be $24.98.
Right,
exactly.
There
you
go. Something weird, like right? Is this a trick question?
Colgate toothpaste?
I have no idea.
1 pack? 3 pack?
Don't
5 pack?
6 ounces.
I don't know.
Colgate toothpaste.
I don't know. $2.
$2?
$2.99.
I was going to say $2.70.
$2.50.
$2.50. It's $3.29. Justin,
come on, y'all.
All right, one more. Let's see if Justin can just completely
annihilate.
Okay, a 64-ounce Tide laundry detergent.
Oh man, see, I make our own. We make our own laundry detergent.
Okay.
I haven't bought detergent ever.
Okay,
well, not ever, but like
okay.
15 years. How 64-ounce?
Yes. You may start
$12.99.
$12.99 is the exact answer.
No way!
Yes. What a fitting way to end
this. No way.
Listen to that.
Listen, right. We do make our own laundry detergent house. Because we do so much laundry.
He cleaned house. Mm.
Wow. All right.
Well, it's...
I don't know what that says about your stewardship team.
They are way... it says they're way better at the spreadsheets than
that's
I am,
right,
for
that's
sure.
Right.
So.
I don't shop.
But you're better at washing the sheets, that's, you know. Right. So, yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, hey, if you have questions about the process in stewardship or really any other ministries when it comes to our budgeting process, feel free to reach out to us. You can direct those to Kelly, and she'll forward them on to whoever needs them. That's K-E-L-L-Y at churchonbayshore.org. And thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.